Hallelujah. If you're visiting us this morning, we want to welcome you, as we've always done. Just raise your hands and our wonderful family, we can give you a nice, warm, Living Light Gospel Church welcome. Everyone, oh, my brother, welcome, 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 welcome. Give him a nice, that's not the Living Light Gospel Church welcome, come on. That's better. That's who we are, amen? We make them welcome so that they feel at home. This is not just a church, this is a family. And this morning I'm going to talk about family. Because it's actually Father's Day today. Amen. So, happy Father's Day to all the fathers today. I want you to all stand before your family today. And I want you to give them a nice happy Father's Day cheer. Is there any fathers in the house? If you don't have a womb, you're a father. Stand up. Hallelujah. Look at all these mighty men. Give them a Father's Day cheer this morning. Hallelujah. Happy Father's Day. Come on, your mother should be cheering louder. praise the Lord. Happy Father's Day. Hallelujah. I'm excited.
Me too.
I'm excited when it comes to the Word of God. Pastor Bill is here with us, if you didn't notice. Hey! It's a long story, but I just wanted to let you know that Papa Bill is here with us now. He's moved back up to Cairns. Hallelujah. Because he feels that this is his family. You are his family. He's got no one down there. And he's been all along. easy, boy. And he's been lonely for a while. And you know what? It's great to have him back. He's done a wonderful job establishing this church. And he's the father of us. He's the papa. Support. Amen. Don't you get the wrong idea that he's come to take over the church.
Nope.
You are stuck with me till Jesus comes back.
Yeah.
Well, the Anglicans will say, whether you like it or, whether you like it or not, you are stuck with me. Amen. And we're going to do the work of God together. And Papa Bill is here to support us. Papa Bill is here he's the Aaron and Ur ministry.
Amen.
He's lifting our hands up and strengthening us as we go. And we've had such a great time. I had a meeting yesterday, and he's just reassured me. Let the church know I'm not here to take over the church. I've already given you the baton. Amen?
Yeah.
All of you have got the baton. That's including me. So don't sit there and say, oh, it's the pastor's job. It's everybody's job. It's that we preach the gospel together. Amen?
Amen?
We're not here to build a brand. Oh, hello, somebody. That church is more interested. You know, churches are more interested in building brands. We are not. We are kingdom builders. We build the kingdom of God. That is building a brand is a very dangerous thing because it takes us away from the real commission of God. That is to preach the gospel. Amen? It doesn't need we don't need traditions and rituals. And, you know, the world needs a practical application of God's love.
Amen.
And you know, God's principles and God's precepts. That's all what the world needs. Not another religion or another church. Hello, somebody.
Yes.
And so, you know, Jesus said something. He said, blessed are those who are poor spiritually. It says, for them belong not a religion, but a kingdom of heaven. We are not here to be part of a religion. We're part of the kingdom of God. Amen? So always have that in you. Only the kingdom can satisfy the spiritual anger of those that haven't found Christ. Only the kingdom can satisfy them, not religion. Amen? And then this Father's Day, I just wanted to bring some encouragement to the fathers this morning and talk about family a little bit more. Let's just pray. Pray for God's word first. Papa God, I thank you for your word and thank you for the inspiration. Thank you for the Holy Spirit. Holy Ghost, you are the one that teaches us. You are the teacher. You are the counselor. You are the one that Christ sent back. And you are here today, living inside of us. Because we have been restored by that very blood that has cleansed this vessel, these earthen vessels, that is allowed to able to carry your presence, O God. For you are holy and righteous. And you said, be holy like my Father in heaven who is holy. Father, I thank you that we are able to do that by the power of the Holy Ghost that lives in us. Lord, I pray you hide me from the people today, as you've always done. Let them hear your voice, just your voice and your word. Nothing else but your word. Father, I thank you that your word is a lamp unto our feet, everlasting to everlasting. It guides us throughout this time of uncharted waters, O God. We not know the future, but only you know, and we know because you have given us your word to guide us through life. Papa God, I thank you today. Anoint your word. Let it not fall to the ground. Let it achieve and accomplish the purpose of why it was sent today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Sunday school is with us today to celebrate Father's Day. Are the children going to say anything to the fathers? Nobody loves us anymore. That's okay. If my children don't love me, God still loves me. Hallelujah. They'll be asking for $5 for lunch on Monday. We'll see about that. Hallelujah. Church, there are only two institutions that are ordained and established by God. Church and family. No, nothing else. If you can get this, if you can understand that, you will be a firebrand kingdom builder. Everything else is ordained by man. Man orientated, man created. Family is older than government. Oh, hello somebody.
Yeah.
It's older than the church.
Yeah.
It exists before government and before church. That's why family is important. When I first received the church from Pastor Bill, there were two instructions that was given to me by a very wise man, which Pastor Bill also looks up to. It's one of our papas. And he said to me, son, you gotta understand two things. Number one, there's only one thing that is, there are two things that are actually legal on earth, and it's two institutions that were established by God, and that is family and church. You get that right, you will build a good church. And that's, church is built from families.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
And then he says, don't worry about the word. Just go and pray and wait for the Holy Ghost. Oh, hallelujah.
Yeah.
And I said, is that all? He said, that's all. Now go and preach. I thought, my goodness, I thought I was going to sit here and get a whole Bible college training. It was like 10 minutes on the phone. Now go and preach. Hallelujah. And he told me this, and it has established something in my spirit. Family exists before schools and educations and institutions. I'm introducing my message today for the fathers this morning. I'm talking particularly to the fathers this morning. You know that every Father's Day I always address the fathers and the mothers and the children. It says, good, he's not going to talk about us, and I address also the children. So it's a family. But today in particular, I want to talk to the fathers this morning. And all the fathers said?
Amen.
Amen. Family is the oldest human institution. It is the cure for all psychological problems, emotional and spiritual problems, ills of our community. Family is the medicine. Family is. Go and study that and go and understand community and understand. And those of you who are working with troubled children, you will know that most of it comes from broken families. Most of those guys come from broken families. When we were praying here this morning, on Saturday morning, Pastor Bill prayed and he said, rejection is the greatest problem in men. When men get rejected, men that don't have fathers to father them. That's why I believe in fatherhood. I believe in spiritual fathers like Papa Bill to be here with us, to father us. Amen? And so, all nations must understand the power of family. I am confident that if we are going to solve the problems of this world or our community, we have to go back to the oldest institution, which is the family. We can't just preach the gospel to everybody. We got to go back to the source of the problem. What is the source of the problem? We must at all costs rediscover, recover, and restructure, rebuild, heal, and strengthen families. First things first is family. If I was going to build a successful church or build a successful community, it has to start from family.
Amen.
That's why family is very important to us. Our family is the key to a stable, productive, sensitive, and healthy community, and that builds into a great nation. This is all connected. A great nation is connected to a great family. Amen? And all the Father said,
amen.
No matter how much money we spend on law enforcement, education, or promoting our country's industries, we cannot bypass family. We have to look at family. If we do not invest in the restoration of family values or family unit, every dollar and cent spent is a waste, which is happening right now. Government was never given, God never gave government to look after your children. God didn't tell the government to grow your children or raise your children up. God didn't tell the education department to raise your children up. You are responsible for your children. Amen? The family is the foundational unit for reproduction. Hello, somebody.
Yeah.
Having children, because it is the only qualified unit for effective total development of a child. Look around us today and the confusion that's going on now. The devil, Satan, knows that if he can win, he has to take family out. And all the confusion that we get from people thinking that there's something else, that's a work of the devil. That's the work of Satan. And he's achieving that because the parents are not fathering the children properly. They're listening to all the scientists and all the education system and all these psychologists and saying, yeah, that's true. God never created us to be confused. Amen? Very quiet. Whatever is happening in the community, a society gives evidence of what is happening in a family. If they want to see a good church, they just have to look at a good family. That's why fathers, you are important in your family. You're the most important foundation in your family. See, a foundation, I keep saying that all the time, a foundation of a house is not seen. It's never seen. They see all the windows and all these nice curtains and the nice walls and the nice painting. But the foundation, if it has a crack, then they have to destroy all this building and start from scratch again. That's why, man, we are the foundation of our families. They don't see the hard work that we do. You don't have to stand and tell your children, I'm doing this for you. You should appreciate me. No. You just shut up and do your job as the father of the house. Hallelujah. Favorite word in this church. Shut up. Some people say, oh, Pastor Ben said shut up. Yeah, I said shut up. Shut up and do your job. Amen? And you have a great helper. And it's called your wife. She's called your wife. You have, you know, man, you are the most blessed person right now. Why? You have the Holy Ghost and you have your wife. And they both are called what? The helper. Hallelujah. So if you're not listening to the Holy Ghost, you better listen to your wife. There's some stories that I refused to listen to my wife that I got into trouble. And God says, you need to listen to the Holy Ghost. I said, which one? He said, your wife too. I said, woo, man. And so all of us men must understand that. See, God's strategy and purpose is to secure society. It was never given to the government to secure society for us. The church, we as family, must secure society. That is not God's strategy. It was never given to law enforcement agencies to secure society. It is us, family. Men, parents, I'm going to talk about some really key principles here that you young fathers must understand. If you get this, you'll be a good father to your children. You'll be a good father to your house. You'll be a good breadwinner for your children and your wife. Hallelujah. In other words, I want to talk about my father. You see, my father was a policeman. He started off as a policeman. He was a young man during the war, running around escaping the bombs from the American military and the Japanese army. And I think he was about 10. And he was young. He grew up in the war. And straight after the war, they were looking for young men to join the police force because we were still colonized by Australia. So Australia was recruiting young men. And they didn't recruit from the town. They bring people from other centers or nations or other provinces to be policemen inside. So you don't create the Wantok system quickly. In PNG, we have this system called the Wantok system. Now, I believe it's a kingdom system, but we've actually abused it. One dog system is a beautiful system. We help everybody. You know, you cannot walk past one house in the village without eating. They will call out to you, hey, come and have some tea. And when you finish there, there's five more houses that you have to eat all the way down to wherever you're going. That's kingdom for us, you know. And I always say, it's a great system that God gave us. But we ourselves misused it when we became totally involved in it for corruption. The one dog system that we talk about. But I believe that it is when they took my father out of that little province of Bougainville. And in Bougainville, we are really tall people. You know, my father was 6'5". And I'm a short guy. I'm saying, God, why didn't I just have my father's height? And my mom is a tiny little woman from Morobe province. Little one. So I got my mom's built and my dad's, my height, my mom's height and my dad's built. My dad's 5'4" and big. And a policeman. So people get scared of him as soon as they see him. He doesn't have to say anything. They just see him with a 303 rifle, they run. So we don't want to mess with this black guy. And it's you know, Bougainville, we're the darkest of Papua New Guinea. So, yeah, they believe that we came from Sudan somewhere. So, yeah. Ethiopia, Sudan. Yep. So, yes, I'm an African. Original. Ori. Hallelujah. But my father raised us up in a community that was full of criminal activities. And he had to move us many times to different places so that we don't get involved in those criminal activities. I was one of those guys that used to go to Dunlop Tires and steal tires. I was the greatest tire thief. No one can steal tires better than Ben Hakelitz. I was really good. And my dad realized that and had to move us to Bougainville, where we grew up in a different environment. But what I'm saying is my father, again, would move us out of different crime-infested neighborhoods to bring us up. My father contributed to community by disciplining us and creating an environment for young people that are law-abiding citizens. Amen? Yeah. So all this good nurturing of 8 children took place in a house in a village. It is illegal when a state government looks after your children. This is some points that I want to make before I go to the Word of God. God never designed the state to be your children's parents. We have got state looking after our children now. We've got all these community services looking after our children now. And yet God wanted the family to be the real nurturers of those families. The Bible says, fathers, train up your children, not the government. Fathers, train up your children, not government, you fathers. This morning as we were praying for our city and families and on Saturday morning, we prayed for some of the troubled husbands that beat their wives. And it's from rejection. And friends, God has called you, men, fathers, to be the anchor of your family. You are the one that anchors the family. But before you can anchor yourself to anything, Jesus said, build your house on what? The rock. You need to anchor yourself to Christ Jesus. The cornerstone, the chief cornerstone, that your anchor holds on to Jesus and you hold on to your family.
Amen.
And you, that's a tough job for fathers. Amen? It's a tough job. But we don't moan and complain. And, you know, you do that. The way you get your energy and your strength is from that cornerstone called Jesus Christ.
Amen.
You hold on to Jesus. And if you're an anchor of the family, then you can't hanker on sand. Because when your storm comes, you need the rock, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Friends, God has called you to do that. And we need the rock, Jesus Christ, in our lives. Remember, Jesus said, you can't build your house on sand or your house will collapse. You can't say, I'm a man. I am this and that and everything's going to be okay. And that's what we do all the time. We say, yeah, No, you need to anchor yourself to Christ Jesus. I'm a pastor of the church. But if I say I'm the pastor and I dwell on all my accolades and all my Bible college graduate certificates and all this stuff and not have hanker myself to Jesus, I'm going to have a problem in the church.
Yeah.
And one of the things about this church is integrity. And you keep hearing me all the time talking about integrity.
Amen.
Integrity is so important for us, so that we can represent my desire to represent God properly. Represent God like God has to be represented. Paul says, imitate me, for I imitate Christ.
Yeah.
How many of us can stand with confidence and say, follow me, for I'm following the rock. I'm holding on to the chief cornerstone. You follow me. How many of us can say that? How many children, you fathers are here this morning, can say to a child that's going through a problem with the father, how many of you can say that I can be your spiritual father? I can stand here in the gap for you. And that's what we have been to many of the sons that have walked into this house. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20 to 21. He says, having built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus came to fix man's problems of fatherlessness. Many fathers have lost relationship with their children. Without a father in a home, women end up babysitting their husbands. Oh, hello, somebody.
Yeah.
When there's no father figure in the house, the women are now babysitting the husbands. The husband does not know how to be a father to his wife or to his children. I'm talking about real problems right now in our community. And if you are the person in this church that do not know how to father your children, then your wife is going to be fathering you. Oh, hello, somebody. These are real facts of life. I've seen it. I've seen evidence of men being fathered by their wives. That is a wrong thing. Without a father in the home, women will be babysitting fathers. Kids plus another father, three kids plus one father, four kids. Hallelujah. Jesus knew the father and became the source and the progenitor of many spiritual children. Jesus was the one. His relationship was with his father. Every time he goes to talk to the father, and people talk to him, they say, what's all this about? Jesus always says, I only do what the father tells me to do. Young man, listen to me. If you're a son in a home where your father has left or died, then you are the father to your siblings, to your sisters, to your mother, all the women in the house. You sons become fathers of the house. Are all the sons listening to me today? This is very important for us to understand, because God wants to be fathers like him in order to turn the hearts of the children back to the father. So if you're understanding this principle and the responsibility and begin to apply it, is really important. Your life, then God will answer your prayers, what? For provisions. Amen. I always say to my children, before you go and make babies, make sure you have a house. Make sure you have a place where your children can grow up in. You can't father children in someone else's house. No. That happens when situations happen in people's lives. But before you can ever do anything, I'm talking to the young people now, always remember that you have a responsibility to your children. My wife always tells my children, get a house, get a life, get a job. Life comes from Christ. All the provisions come from God. If you go to build a family, God will provide the provision for you. Amen?
Yeah.
You don't have to worry about your tomorrow. Because family to God is important. If you have a family and you're looking for a job, you will get the job. Why? God requires you to have the job so that family can be strong. There's one thing about this church that we know and we've realized, that every time people come for prayer for jobs, they get a job. Why? Because God wants you to be blessed so that your children, God is about family. It's not about you. It's about family. And if you're a man and you're responsible for your family, God will provide for you. You know, the greatest example of a role of the father was demonstrated in the life of Jesus. And he spoke of his father more than anyone else. He expressed and confessed his need, dependency, and submission to his father. He never hesitated for giving credit to his father. Wow. That's a great role model right there. He saw his father as the source, resources, and the purpose for his entire life. His ministry relied on his father. Jesus put every faith, all his life, and all his trust in his father. His ministry relied on his father. Without his father, he can't do anything. And that's why he says, I only do what the father tells me to do. Hallelujah. So he never hesitated to give credit to his father. Whenever he was questioned about his identity, his work, his purpose, his heritage, his power, his authority, his family, his message when he's speaking, his philosophy, his theology, his legitimacy, and all his destination, he always refers to the Father. Hallelujah. 4 o'clock in the morning, gets up, goes and talks to the Father, comes back down, miracles happen, boom, 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 boom. Blind eyes open. 4 hours with the Father, 1 second with the demon. 4 hours with the Father, 1 second with the demon. 4 hours with the Father, 1 second with disease. 4 hours with the Father, dead raised from, people raised from dead. 4 hours with the Father, urine, amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. And that's what you and I should be. We must get excited about the ministry of what we are called to do as fathers. How many men do you know today who speak of their fathers like Jesus did? Many of us came from broken homes. Families are broken. But you know, I always say to those who come from the broken home, thank your father and your mother for bringing you. You're alive today. You're breathing. You're blessed. Thank them for bringing you into this world. Bless them and then move on with your life and live your purpose in God. Because it doesn't matter where you came or how you came, how you were conceived. That's nothing to God. God is all interested in how you're going to achieve why you were called on this planet, on this earth. Amen? In essence, the level at which your children refers to you is the measure of your effectiveness as a father. If your children respect you, then you have done a great job in their life. I like what Tim always says to his father. When he talks about the church, Tim always says, yeah, you raise him up well. And praise God. That's true. We are spiritual fathers of this man. And he's raised us up well. And it's the same thing applies to our physical children. If people can validate their respectful attitudes and all this, they give it to the father. It's because of the father that these children are like that. Hallelujah. Consider those words of the Lord Jesus Christ. John chapter 8, verse 19. He says, then they said to him, where is your father? Jesus answered, you know neither me nor my father. If you had known me, you would have known my father also. Wow. John chapter 8, verse 22, 26 to 27, says, I have many things to say to judge concerning you, but he who sent me is true. Hallelujah. And I speak to the world those things which I have heard from him. They did not understand that he spoke to them of the Father. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself as my Father taught me. I speak these things, and he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. Hallelujah. John chapter 8, verse 38. Listen to what he's talking about his Father. He says, I speak what I have seen with my Father, and you do not know, or you do what you have seen with your Father. John chapter 8, verse 49 says, Jesus answered, I do not have a demon, but I have honored my Father, and you dishonor me. Hallelujah. He's talking about his Father, validating his Father, telling them that this is why I'm like this, because of my Father. John chapter 8, verse 54 to 55, Jesus answered, if I honor myself, my honor is nothing. It is my Father who honors me, of whom you say that he is your God. Wow. Yet you have not known him. But I know him, and if I say I do not know him, I shall be a liar like you. But I do not know him, but I do know him and keep his word. John chapter 10, verse 25. Jesus answered them and said, I told you, and you do not believe, that the works I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. John chapter 10, verse 29 to 30. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Hallelujah. John chapter 10, verse 37 to 38. Words of Jesus and his Father. If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Hallelujah. Friends, look around us today. Our society, too many women are called upon to do the Father's job. Hello, fathers.
Yeah.
Women are doing Father's job in the house. Women were not created to be the sustainer. Too many men have abandoned the women and left them alone to sustain themselves and the offspring that the man gave them. Are you a young man today looking at getting married? Are you a young woman today that are looking at getting married? Question you should ask your husband when he comes, or your boyfriend. Number one, have you got a vision? Number two, do you love God? Number three, do you have a job? Number four, get a haircut and get a life. You young men listening to me? Young daughters, all the spiritual daughters here this morning, that's the question. You write it down. Print it on a t-shirt. Walk around town. Come on. Live according to the righteousness of God. Any man can come and ask you for your marriage. Give him those four things. First, number one, love the Lord Jesus Christ. Number two, have a vision, because I'm happy with my Father at the moment. You got a house? Good. Come and take me to your house. Don't have a house? I'm happy in my room, my Father's house. I'm serious. I don't have daughters. I got four sons. And I pray that they don't mess up other daughters' lives. And I always, if I have a daughter, these are the exact things I'm going to tell her. This is what you do. And if they don't like it, come and see me. We'll sort them out. Praise God. We need to be strong about bringing strong families. Amen?
Yeah.
And all the young daughters shouted and said, amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Whatever, listen to me, young man, whatever is produced by the Father must be sustained and nourished by him. That's what God the Father is like. He produced us. And he sustains us. And so the same applies to you and I as fathers. If you bring out a children, then you nourish it and you sustain it. That's your job.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Whatever that is produced by the Father must be sustained and nourished by him. Man, God wants you to understand this. This is key. The church cannot fix society's problems when the foundation is out of place. Society's problems, we got to go after the foundation, and that's men. Men need to be in church. Men need to be in prayer. Men need to get involved in the ministry. Men need to be involved. Not just getting a job and working. No, your spiritual life is important, because where are you going to get instructions for your children? You are the one that's supposed to pay the price in a place of prayer, get the answer from God, and give instructions to your wife, and your wife is the commander of the house. She gives the command. Not you. You get the instruction from the Father, give it to the commander. The commander gives it to the children. The children humbug. Commander says, you wait till the Father comes home. And the Father comes home, kids are running around. That's how God operates. Hallelujah. The wife doesn't have to do anything. Just say, my mom, she said, you wait till your father gets home. Man, that's the scariest thing you can hear. Because my father walk out, the belt is out. And if the bell is not, he's too concerned about these trousers falling off, he finds the robber house. I get a belt and a robber house. That's my two main weapon every time. Oh, my goodness. I got stripes on my ass. So, men, fathers, get instructions from the Lord. That's your job. Your job is come to the place of prayer. Get instructions from God. Give it to your wife so that the wife can give it to the children. That's how the structure of God operates. A strong family is that way. That's why I challenged the team this morning. Come on, let's come for prayer. Praying together. We hear from God together. Hallelujah. The church moves forward with every one of us in the same wavelength when we hear the same thing from God. Hallelujah. So if the foundation that God has laid for the family is not in place, Even the work of the righteous, the Bible says, will not be successful. Psalm 11 verse 3 says, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The church cannot fix society's problems until we fix the problem that is the fathers and family. No matter how hard the church works to correct social ills, if the foundation is not laid correctly, the devil does not care. Listen to me. And this is not talking gender, or this is talking about your purpose. Your purpose as a female, as a husband and a wife. The devil does not care how much the church is filled with the woman. The devil doesn't care because the foundation is not set right. The women are not supposed to carry the burden for you, man. The women are not supposed to be here praying for you. The women are not supposed to be hearing from God for you. You men should be hearing God for yourselves. Hallelujah. So the devil doesn't care how the church is filled with the women. Because as long as the men do not get the heavenly place in the Father, then the women and the children are fatherless. Women and children are fatherless in the church if men does not take their rightful place inside the church. I'm talking about the kingdom of God and the church today. And that is the family of God. If we men don't find ourselves in church today, our children and our wives are fatherless inside the church. We have not found our place in church. Don't talk to me about men's ministry until you find yourself in a place of prayer. Amen. Because men's ministry can be just a club of people drinking coffee every morning. Hello, somebody. All these prophecies that came for this church, if we do not move ourselves to the place where God's going to use us, then it's just going to go somewhere else and someone else is going to pick it up and run with it and we're going to miss out. And we're not supposed to become selective hearers of the word. Those prophecies that were released by those men that came last week, it's the same thing I've been speaking about for 5 years. He said, we can create something in God, in this church, create a portal where the angels will discern and ascend and the anointing stays over this place. People will see lights from far and say, what is happening in that place over there? Nothing, there's just a couple of guys praying. Praise God. I've been in crusades where people literally see fireworks. And they'll come and say, did you guys bring some fireworks? No, it was just the presence of God. And that's what men should be found doing. I'm challenging you fathers this morning. That find yourself in the place of prayer. If we are going to see change in this church, then your excuses from last past year, don't get excited for 1 minute. Don't get excited for one crusade. Jesus said, don't get excited about those things. Be happy and be blessed that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Don't get excited about the works. Get excited about your relationship with God. Get excited that your name's written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That's what you should be excited about. Not 10,000 people got saved in a crusade. Oh, we did a really, oh, it was powerful. Oh, it was anointing. If we praise that for 1 minute and 1 weekend, we are back to normal again. And man, this is your challenge today. You get yourself up in the morning. Wake yourself up. Amen? Set your alarm clock twice. Get up. Let's come and pray together. If Papa Bill's come back for something, then something is happening. Something is brewing. There's a cloud forming. We saw it. Hallelujah. And we're going to believe that. It's not some nice sermon for one Sunday, and then we forget all about that, and then we come back and sit down and receive another nice sermon again. Come on. How long have we got in this earth? There is a storm that is already happening before the calm. It's happening. And I was listening to this song called Canaries in the Coal Mine. It's by a band called Police. And I used to wonder what canaries in the coal mine, what does it talk about? Well, it talks about the miners in those days in Missouri. I think they used to bring, because they were in dangers of gas leaking and dangerous carbon dioxide. So they used to bring little canaries in cages with them down into the coal mines. And they will watch the canaries while they're working. And if the canaries stop singing, trouble is here. My friends, look around you today. The canaries are starting to stop singing. And we can't be church that think the same as how we used to think 10 years ago. It's different now. Let's make some changes in it. And this is a challenge for us men. Godly father within the foundation of the family and the church and culture. The primary mission of the church is to be fishers of men. Amen? Matthew chapter 4, verse 19. He says, then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. The church calls men back to their original Father, and they are restored to the Father by the salvation through the Son. If you have not given your heart to Jesus, you are experimenting with life, and life doesn't belong to you. It belongs to God. He can snuff it out tomorrow, anytime. I get up in the morning, I touch my heart, says, God, thank you. I'm still breathing. Seriously, because I know that He's got a purpose for my life. And I thank God for these things. I don't take my life for granted. I don't know how long I'm going to be doing this job, and you, how long we're going to be together here on this earth. We're going to make some changes in our lives. The church are calling you men back today. God is calling you men back today. Remember this, when humanity fell, God never looked for the women. He went after the men. He said, where are you? Adam, where are you? He knows where he was. He was just saying, where is your position with me? You used to be in righteousness with me, in right standing with me. What happened to you? Where are you? God's calling us men this morning. Where are we? When humanity fell, he didn't go after the women. The responsibility was with us men. It's a heavy responsibility. Praise God. And we have a great helper called women, our wives, that can stand with us in everything. See, I don't have the same strength as my wife has. And sometimes I'm starting to realize that her strength really lifts me up. Amen. She's got a different strength from me. Yep. My strength is different from hers. And her strength is different from me. But when we work together, something happens in the family. Hallelujah. Yeah. And we apply the very thing that we apply in our family to this church. To you, all of you sitting here, spiritual sons and daughters, brothers and sisters in Christ. We do the very same thing that we do at our homes. Hallelujah. So God is calling us back, my friends. Remember this. Genesis chapter 9, verse 3, verse 9 says that the Lord called to Adam and said to him, where are you? In other words, Adam was out of position. The foundation has been shaken and destroyed, and the whole of creation was unbalanced. Totally unbalanced until the second Adam, Jesus Christ, came in to restore that. Hallelujah. Without the fathers, the marriage and the family, the community and the nation lies in shambles. We are seeing it every time. I used to work with youth services, and I see the hurt in those children. I know my brother, Jerry, you're still doing that job. It's a tough job. Tough job. You see those kids come in, and you try to be fathers to them, you know, or uncles to them. And sometimes the job is really tough because the organization won't allow you to be that. As a Christian person, you want to put your heart in, and I think, Joe, you work in those places as well. You want to put your heart into those people, but you can't because the organization stops you from doing that. Because that's the way they make their money. As long as there's a problem, there's a funding. There's a problem in the community, there's a funding for it. We are the answers. That's why they hate us. Because if we rise up and become the answer to the society's problems, everyone loses their job. I love somebody. That's very true. I worked in that department before Joe did. All of us here did. Many of you are still working there today. Hallelujah. They'll have to find some other jobs for all these people that are working there. Praise the Lord. Isaiah prophesied what would happen when men abandon the fatherhood and foundations of culture shattered. Isaiah chapter 3 verse 12, he says, as for my people, children are their oppressors, and women rule over them. Oh, my people, those who lead you cause you to err and destroy the way of your paths. This is Isaiah saying the family foundation turned around and destroyed. Isaiah 3:12 describes what is happening today in our society today, in which women chases after men, and men rule like mad children, and boys become leaders. When a boy becomes your leader, you are in trouble. A boy becomes your prime minister, you are in trouble. This is a place for mature men. Men who have been raised well to know how to manage family. You can't go and manage a country if you can't manage a family. Hallelujah. Isaiah prophesied that in such cultures, immorality and satanic oppressions will be rampant. You can see it around you. Men will become women and indulge in homosexuality. All this kind of stuff happening today. Men becomes women. That's the problem Isaiah saw. And he says, if we don't fix that, The enemy, the devil, is trying to do this to men, and men become feminized and responsive to life like women. Oh, hello, some. Hey, I said it.
Yeah.
And I'll repeat it again. They throw stones at us, but we need to address these things. That's the only way the church can move on and correct the path in society today. When the fathers move out of the place as sustainers and nurturers and protectors, the foundation is destroyed. See, our Father is a sustainer. God is a sustainer. And we fathers have that same attributes that He has. He's given us. We sustain things. That's why we work. That's why we look after our children. That's why, you say, my son, sometimes when some people say to you, oh, why don't you love me? I don't have to love you. I have an obligation to do things for you. If you have so many kids, some of them think that you love one more than the other. Tell them all, that's my obligation, that you are safe, that you are loved the same as everyone of them in this family. Those are things that we have to address every time. Father's Day is the day for us to remember that. We celebrate men. We celebrate our uncles and our sons. But our uncles and our sons, listen to this today, that our Father is a sustainer. And we fathers have that inbuilt in us. The character of a sustainer, God the Father, is in us today. And you get that today, my friends, sons and daughters, you're going to raise up great, strong families when you understand the principle of what God is telling you today. If something comes from you as a father, then you must sustain it. And though it is rotten, no good, horrible, and rebellious, you still have the obligation to sustain it.
Amen.
Your children are rebellious, you sustain them. That's your job. You can tell them, wow, I wish I never had you. No, you can't get it. Okay. You're rebellious, my job is to still sustain you. You still get fed, you got a roof over your head, until such time when God said, change you around. And so all of us here sitting today have children like that. Rebellious, rotten to the bone. But we still sustain them. Fathers, you sustain them, regardless of what. You don't hate them, you don't despise them, you sustain them. It's God's job to bring them back. It's not our job. Why? Because God is good, faithful, and patient. Father, He sustains, nourishes, and protects. Hallelujah. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9 gives us a reason. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Hallelujah. Be encouraged about that. That encourages you. Read that every morning when you get up if you have a rebellious child. Read 2 Peter verse 3 to 9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering towards us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. If God is long-suffering, then fathers, we become long-suffering as well.
That's right.
That's the great character of God. Long-suffering. Hallelujah. You know, sometimes I get angry at my children when they're not there. We talk about them, we stare, and then as soon as they walk into the house, I'm like, man, I love that kid. They've got something going in there, you know? You can really, they do something to you, and you just like, wait till he comes back home. Then as soon as they walk through the door, you go, I love that boy.
Yeah.
Praise God. That's the long-suffering of a father, amen? That doesn't come from something, that comes from God. We carry the same attributes as God, hallelujah. And so Jesus understood that God has this continuous source. Only good things could come from Him. The religious leaders criticized Jesus for doing miracles, saying that He was from the devil. Yet He answered his critics by saying in Luke chapter 11, verse 11 to 13, He says, if a son asks for bread from any father among you, will he give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit the doors who ask Him? Ooh,
right.
Hallelujah. What has Jesus taught us today in His word? Simple. God's sustenance, our behavior or how it was received, He sustains that, He creates because of His goodness. It's the goodness of God that He continues to love us. It's the goodness of God, and it continues to sustain us. Hallelujah. Remember the parable of the prodigal son, and I'll close here. The ambitious and ungrateful son that took his heritage and left and went down. And then one morning the Bible says, Luke chapter 15, verse 17 to 18, it says, but when he came to himself and he said, how many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare? And I perish with hunger. I will arise and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. My friends, I want to say to you this morning, if you've walked away from God, or if you don't know God, and if you want to eat pig slop, you have a choice of eating the king's table or eating pig slop. Either way, God sustains you. If you want pig slop, God will give you pig slop through your rebellious life. But if you want the king's banquet, God will sustain you with that also. He's a sustainer. He sustains you when you're eating pig slop, and he sustains you when you come into the kingdom. Why? Because you are still the son that he loves. And that's the kind of heart that we fathers must have for our children. And I'm talking today because I know that many of us have walked away from that place. Many of us have become prodigal sons, eating pig slop. But God says he will still sustain you. God will feed you whatever you want. Real food, pig slop. He will still continue to sustain you in your sin until you come into the kingdom of God. God will sustain you. Why? He has a plan and a purpose for you. Jeremiah 1, chapter 1, verse 5. I love that scripture. Even before you were in your mother's womb, I knew you. Wow. When I read that scripture for the very first time, I understood why I was alive. I decided to search for truth and find truth so that that word becomes a reality in my life. Man, this morning, God wants you to renew. I don't care how long you're in church. Today is a time that you make some changes in your life. Make it now. Don't have familiarity with church. Oh, I have had that before. Oh, you know, I'm okay. No one's okay. Jesus said, why you call me good? Only God is good. All of you, no good. Only good. Realize he doesn't say I'm good. Jesus didn't say all of you are no good and I'm good. He says no, all of us are bad. Only the Father in heaven is good. Wow. That's why he says be holy like my Father in heaven who is what? Holy. I want you in this church, you men, not to have ever familiarity, because the spirit of familiarity will destroy you. The moment you say, ah, I know that, I don't have, oh, I'll do that tomorrow. Or if you procrastinate on things like that. See, this altar is a place of change. You make the call to change here. And you make it before God. And don't go back and wallow in the mud again. That has to stop. We have to make some changes in our life and become true representative of God. Hallelujah. And that's why the Father's heart in me always sings out to you, spiritual sons, every time. Do the right thing. Do the right thing. I have one of the greatest sayings that Pastor Bill taught me. He says, integrity is doing the right thing when no one is watching you. Wow. Integrity is doing the right thing when no one is watching you. Because if you can do that, listen to me, if you can do that before the Holy Ghost, you're a firebrand for Jesus Christ. If the Holy Ghost conviction is still strong in your spirit, you know you're in the right place. Amen? And so today, this morning, I'm making an altar call for you men. It's Father's Day today. I want our purpose here to pray for you today and make some changes. Draw some lines right now and become a great father in your family. There's little things like that, little things you may have that builds up into something really big. And before you know it, it splits families, destroys families. We attack it right on the head while it's still little seed. Get rid of it. Amen. So God is calling us today. Apostle Paul wrote in Colossians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, he says, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things exist or consist. Oh, hallelujah. Even the devil exists. So stop worrying about the devil. He's already given you the Holy Ghost. You have the willpower to choose from right or wrong. The devil gets the blame all the time, poor fella. Leave him alone for a change. Let's focus on being holy and righteous and obedient to God's word. That's all I want to say to you this morning. Amen? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
I'm going to ask Joe to come and just play some piano. But I'm opening this altar for you men today because it's Father's Day. I want to pray with you. I really want to pray with you. I prepared this message just for us, fathers. See, the Bible says no temptation can overtake you except such as is common to man. That's the grace and the goodness of God. If you want to make some changes or you want to become effective for the community, for the church this morning, come to the front today. Let's pray with you. If you've never given your heart to Jesus, come to the front today. I want to make this call first. I think I want to make this call for those who have not given their hearts to Christ, those who have walked away from Him. Salvation is more important than anything else. Amen? Your salvation is important to God. God wants to clean you up today so that you can become an effective father in your family units. It's Father's Day today. You may be in church for all these years. Make one change today. One change. And I pray that this spirit of familiarity will be broken in your life. This idea of just coming to church. Now come and say, God, I want to make some changes today. That when I go out, I will be the person walking on your principles, your precepts, just like He said to Joshua. Keep my word close to your heart. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to bow your heads. I'm praying. Hallelujah. Thank you, Papa Joe. Father, I thank you. Thank you for your word today. Thank you for the encouragement that you've given us through your word. Lord, I thank you for all these mighty men, amazing young men sitting in this church today. You brought them in for this purpose, oh God. Each and every one of them, oh God. Thank you, Lord, that as we stand to become good fathers in our family units, good fathers to our wives, and good fathers to our children, great sustainers. We sustain them regardless of what. We carry the foundation of family regardless of what. And I pray that every crack, whatever crack that may appear, Lord, I pray today, seal that right now by the power of the Holy Spirit. Seal it, O God, in the lives of each and every man here today. All our grandfathers, the grandmothers, uncles, and sons. Lord, I pray that you strengthen that. Seal that crack right now in the name of Jesus. That this crack will not become something that will allow the building to collapse or the family to collapse. And Father, today, that is my prayer to you today. Thank you, God. I pray over the men today. Lord, I thank you for their wives. Thank you for the strength that you have given them, the helper, the one that becomes their help, oh God. That strength that is different from them, oh God. But thank you that they're standing to build a great family unit that will forever change our society, change our community. But not only that, Father, that we represent you well, that we become the shining light, that city on a hill, hallelujah, that will shine the light of the truth of God throughout the city. And I thank you for each and every man today as they come today to celebrate Father's Day and be in fellowship today. Thank you. I pray as they go, Lord, you lead them and guide them. Let the conviction of the Holy Spirit be so strong in their lives, oh God, that when they make decisions, when they are up at the place of temptation, they will know exactly what they should do. They will give, that you will make a path for them, that you said, no temptation shall overtake us, such as that is common to man, Lord. And I thank you that all of us, Father God, if there's anything, Lord, if there's any addiction to pornography today, broken right now in Jesus' name. Father, if it's just one side and one thing, or press this button or do that, Father, today, Lord, convict each and every man today, Lord, in that place. And we thank you, God. I pray, Lord, for your wonderful blessing upon all the fathers today. I speak that blessing, oh God, that blessing in Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 to 26, over all our fathers, all the uncles, all the grandfathers today. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance towards you and give you peace. Shalom, nothing missing, nothing broken. Everything is made whole, well, and complete with the relationship with your wife, your children, your job, your boss, your business, your career. Nothing is missing. It's all restored by the power of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Jesus, and the finished work of the cross over your life today, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let's stand and just worship God for just a few minutes before we close. Let's give him thanks this morning. Hallelujah. Oh, am I doing the announcements? Oh, you're doing it now. Oh, praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you. Amen. I want to pray for those men. If you're looking for a job, I believe God's is a God, it sustains, but God also knows the heart of a man that wants to take care of his family. And we know that many are looking for work. Whilst we're worshiping, I'm going to be here. Me and Pastor Bill are here. Papa Bill is here. We're going to pray. If you are something in your heart that you want to be done today, let's believe God together for it today. Hallelujah. You men, your family is important to you. And if God has the same character to sustain and he's giving you the same attributes, then walking into this altar here today shows that you're serious about building family, building strong families. Those of you who are looking for work, I want to pray for you today. Hallelujah. Because I know God has called you to the church, and to become a blessing to the church, you have to have a job. Everyone has a job and they become a blessing. All this is part and parcel of the kingdom. So I want to pray as we sing a worship song today. I'm going to ask Pastor Bill to come with me. We're going to pray for each and every one of you men today. Hallelujah. If you're going through some tough times with family today, it's your day today. It's Father's Day. Let's pray with you. Hallelujah. Thank you.